Over the Americas and around the world, once again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. I'll be speaking in the San Francisco Bay Area at the Dunphy Hotel in San Mateo, California, the weekend of October 29th through the 31st. I'll be there the whole weekend. I'll have a booth. Tapes of the Hour of the Time will be there. We'll have a special discount on the whole series of the Mystery Schools. And my book, Behold a Pale Horse, will be available. Of course, I'll be there if you just want to drop by and talk. CAGI members, as usual, get a discount to the workshop, just to the workshop, nothing else, folks. That's the only thing I have the power to negotiate for. I'll be speaking Sunday, October the 31st at 12:30 p.m., and also we'll be holding a workshop on that same day, Sunday, October the 31st, at 3:30 p.m. If you would like information on how you can attend and where to go and how to get to the Dunphy Hotel and anything else you want to know about, please call area code 415-905-8874. That's 415-905-8874. Also, I will be in Atlanta, Georgia on November the 14th at the Chambly Civic Center. That's November the 14th, Atlanta, Georgia, at the Chambly Civic Center. The area code is 404, and the number you should call is 986-0802. That's 404-986-0802. And we'll be giving out these numbers every night, so make sure you write it down at least one of these nights and call well in advance. CAGI members, we'll have a pretty good discount in Atlanta, Georgia. So make sure that if you live in the southeastern United States that you be there, because I'm going to knock your socks off, as I always do, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that you have been buying stock in our media buyout venture, the Gannett Company Incorporated. The New York Stock Exchange symbol is GCI. GCI. Now, we're not going to be talking about that tonight because I have a special guest. But, folks, I want you to get involved in this. Get your neighbors involved in it. If you belong to organizations, get your organizations involved in it. Everyone's been sitting around complaining and griping. I just heard somebody on Tom Valentine's show bitching about the Jews owning the news media. What's the matter with everybody? Hey, if they had the money, if they had the gumption, if they had the smarts and they went and bought it, then they deserve to own it. And if all you want to do is sit around and complain and bitch and cry about it, then you deserve to get the news that they give to you. We're doing something. We here in CAGI, the Hour of the Time, and the listeners out there that really, really care and really want to do something, you buy stock in Gannett, or Gannett Company Incorporated. New York Stock Exchange symbol is GCI. Make sure that you get the stocks certificates in your possession, issued in your name. Make sure that you buy only voting shares. Make sure that your stock broker understands that you want only voting shares. Fill out a proxy and send it to me in my name to vote your shares. That way, we can be powerful. You can't lose a thing, folks. And if you don't like the way I'm running things, you can always share your stock. You can do that, too. You can share it or you can sell it. Everybody is going to win on this, no matter what, I'll tell you. Now, we're going into this to own the corporation, not to make money. But if you get scared, you want to pile out, you think that I'm not voting your shares in the proper way, you can always sell your shares and revoke your proxy, and hopefully we can get somebody else to take your place. But this many people buying stock is going to increase the value of that stock, I can guarantee you, folks. It never fails. That's the way the system works. It's a supply and demand pricing system. So the shares are going to go up. And as we get increasingly closer to controlling the corporation, the more the shares will cost us. You must be prepared for that, but it's worth it. It is worth it. We can own a piece of the action and dictate the direction that this corporation takes. They own many radio stations, many TV stations, and a whole chain of newspapers all across the United States. What have you got to lose? Come, join us.
Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose, so come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose, so come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose, so come on, let's cruise, come on.
When I spoke in Denver at the Denver Coliseum, in the booth next to ours was a gentleman and his family, his wife and his little daughter Katie, and we all quickly became very good friends. He does something called In Plain View. In fact, that's what he calls his seminars, In Plain View. It's a common sense approach, folks, to personal safety, self-defense, and survival. He teaches street and wilderness awareness, home and car safety, and how to develop the intuitive skills to assure your safety wherever you are. I watched this man do things that just made me stand there with my jaw hanging down on my chest, saying, my God, how many lives could that have saved if just so many people would have known it? Folks, if you travel alone, whether it's across town or across the country, this man could save your life. What he can teach could save your life, and you don't have to go anywhere and buy anything special from anybody. It's survival training, folks, where everything is in plain view, and you don't even know it. You use everyday materials to create life when you need it the most. Remember that young couple not too long ago was driving in the midst of a winter snowstorm, and they decided to take a little used road as a shortcut. And they ran out of gas, and they couldn't go any further, and the snow was piling up around their car, and they were cold, and they had a little baby. Well, they did something very foolish to start with. They got out of the car and began walking in this blizzard. Well, to make a long story short, they found the car long before they found these two young people and their little baby. But when they found them, they suffered from frostbite that was so severe, all except for the baby was fine, that they had to have portions of their limbs amputated. It was extremely sad because it's a very young couple and a very small baby. If they had attended a seminar that our special guest tonight had given anywhere in this country, they would have survived and had no injuries whatsoever, even if it had taken another week or two to find them. That's how precious the knowledge that this man has. Let me give you some quotes. Jim Christofferson said, "I'll never be able to look at the world the same way again. This training is incomparable." Candy Tompkins said, "Before this seminar, I knew nothing about survival. I now know that I can handle any situation." It's better to have and not need, folks, than to need and not have. And let me tell you a little bit about Ken. Ken's a Vietnam veteran. I'm a Vietnam veteran. We had a lot to talk about. His little daughter, Katie, and my daughter, Pooh, struck off a friendship, and they were together every moment that they were near each other. But this gentleman has worked for the United States Navy, for NATO, for NASA, that's the National Aeronautic and Space Administration, numerous police forces, detective and security agencies. He's traveled extensively, and he's filled with stories of harrowing escapes, rescues, and life-threatening situations. You give him anything off of your clothing or off your body or out of your house or just show him your car, and he'll take what's there and show you how to survive for a long period of time. He's a lot of fun. He has a great attitude. He was so gentle with the children that my heart went out to him. We became friends immediately. He has a vast knowledge of survival and survival techniques. He's dynamic, he's informative, he's entertaining, he loves to talk to people. I stood there, watched him just talk to group after group after group. He never seemed to get tired. He will, I guarantee you, challenge your view of the world through his creativity, imagination, and passion for life. Welcome to the Hour of the Time, Ken Lewis.
It's an honor to be on your show, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with everyone out there that's within listening. How are you doing this evening?
I'm fine, Ken. Why don't we start off? I've just about explained everything the way that I know how to do it. Why don't you give them a little background and tell them what it is you do and how you do it, and we'll get into some specifics of some of the things that people have near them right now while they're listening to this broadcast.
Great. I started this program a couple years ago. Actually when my daughter was born, she was my inspiration for it, because I've learned to live and learn and pass it on, and now I have someone to pass all this knowledge on that I've been collecting over the past 25 years. And I started teaching her, and everyone that's ever known me has always said, "Well, if something major happens, I want to be with you." And it made me realize that I can't be with everybody. So I need to get this information out to people so people can help themselves and be just as confident and as strong and as in control of any situation as I am. So I put this program together to be able to teach the public, for those that want to learn and listen and hear and listen.
How long is the program?
It's an 8-hour seminar that I teach, and it's called The Observer, and it's geared towards nudging the sleeping mind awake.
It fits right in with this program, Wake the People. How old is your daughter, Ken?
She's 4 years old.
Now you see, folks, I've been telling you about my daughter. Now you're hearing about Ken's daughter. Ken's daughter, your daughter could survive just about anywhere, couldn't she?
Absolutely. Her intuitiveness and her gentleness, she just knows. She has this knowing, and it just comes naturally to her, which is great. And it started out as games, but now she knows. She knows what to do when she's out in the wilderness. She knows what to do if she's in a store and she's lost, or if anyone approaches her or anything, that she's in control of the situation, and she knows who she is and where she's going at all times.
How many people have you taught survival techniques to, Ken?
Hundreds. I don't have a listed number.
Truth is, you haven't even been keeping count, have you?
No, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not a scorekeeper.
I knew that. Ken, let's get right into something. I know that you probably spent some time preparing for the program. What do you want to tell our listeners? Let's start with something that's near them that they could probably look around and reach out and grab right now.
down very simply the radio that they're listening to, especially if it's a portable radio, if it's got an antenna on it. That's something that people carry all the time, is a portable radio with them. Well, if that's the only thing that they left their home with or they left their car with, if it's got an antenna on it, now you have the means to live just with that radio alone. And to do that, just take a look at your radio, even if it's in your car. You have wires that connect that radio, but these can be used for making snare traps with. If you have batteries within that radio, in the clothing, the lint and fuzz in your pockets, I can show you how to start a fire with the batteries and the wires.
Now, folks, I saw him do this in Denver, and I was amazed. He took some batteries, he took some wire out of a regular radio, and some fuzz off of his clothing that he was wearing, and started a fire right there in front of us. Go ahead, Ken.
The dials that turn your radio, they usually have a rubber band or a string inside of that. You can use that for making snare traps with. The antenna you can use for prodding with. If you're walking anywhere that may be unsafe, you can use it as a fishing rod. You can use it for self-defense. You can take the speaker system off, which all speakers have a magnet. You can use that magnet to possibly find fishing lures in an area that would seem to be traveled by other people who may have fished and lost their lures with. You can use that as a weight. You can use that as a weapon if you needed to. You can use the screen and covering to help purify water with, to strain through water that might be cloudy or muddy, to use it as a filtration system. The plastic on radios, the cassette tape that go into radios and cassette players, you can use that for snare traps. You can use it for tracking. You can use it for fishing. If you're out in the wilderness and you have large game around, you may want to string it 2 to 3 feet off the ground, and the animals will come through on a morning run if you want to check something like this, and they'll break it. You'll know that they're feeding in the area in the morning. If not, you go back in the afternoon, and if it's broke, then you know they're on their afternoon run. This saves you time and energy for tracking.
Now, you've actually tried all of this that you teach. You've actually gone out and done
everything. Everything that I teach, I've field tested it, I've proven it. I tell you which is the best gear to use and get your hands on, and I've been the guinea pig.
Now, the first thing I saw at Denver when I looked over at your booth was you had a big board on it with a whole bunch of things that I looked at it and I said, what did this guy bring all the junk out of his house down here for? He had a beer can there and a whole, you know, what can you do with a beer can?
Several things. One, you can drink what's inside of it and enjoy that, but then what I teach with in plain view is everything that you buy it for what it is, and that's the only thing that you see it for. Okay, now let's take the beer can. You can use that beer can several different ways. Birthday candles, extra candles that you have around the house. There's always wax that's left in it. The reflection inside a beer can, a pop can, any kind of aluminum can, if you cut the front of it open by maybe 3 inches, 4 inches, put wax in it, take a pipe cleaner for cleaning pipes or anything that you can make a wick out of and put it in there, will give you hours of candle power time to light up your home if all the lights are out. And an average size can will light the average size living room, dining room, bedroom, whatever, wherever you want to put it, that you can see clearly, you can read, you can cook off of them. You can open them up if you find one out somewhere and use it as a signal mirror.
Now, it'll actually provide enough heat to keep someone from freezing in a confined space. Just the heat from a small candle like that is enough to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I was up with my daughter in a area out here fishing, and to my surprise, the weather changed drastically and dropped, and it went down to 20 degrees that night, and we were in a small tent, and I threw a couple things together and kept the inside of the tent at 45 degrees by using one of these candle lanterns inside a coffee can to help radiate the heat with inside the tent. We woke up, there was at least 6 to 8 inches of snow, and we were totally fine and comfortable. We ate some fresh caught trout. We had a great time.
Now, most people would say 45 degrees. Oh, my God. But 45 degrees is above freezing. It's far enough above freezing that if you have any kind of proper covering or whatever, you're not going to be too uncomfortable. And the important thing is that you won't get frostbite.
Absolutely. Frostbite and hypothermia are going to kill you quicker than anything else. If you're caught in a situation and you just don't know what to do, even using your natural surroundings, fallen trees, rocks, the earth itself, if you can dig and make yourself a lean-to, as long as you can confine the area that you have a fire in, you'll have warmth, you'll be fine. Clothing that people leave the house with every single day, they just don't realize all the materials that they have with them to sustain life no matter where they're at.
Yeah.
As long as they don't panic, and they have to vanquish fear and panic. They just have to get rid of it.
You were in the Navy, is that correct?
Correct.
Now, in the Navy, I was in the Navy too, we were taught to use every single piece of our clothing for survival at sea. And did that have anything to do with sparking off your imagination to get started on this?
Yes. Things get so complex, if it's not rocket science, people just can't understand it, and they don't think that it's worth anything. What we've lost sight of in this country is simplicity. If it's not microwavable, if it's not credit card, then people cannot survive.
Uh-huh.
That's what they're led to believe today. But from the top of your head to the tips of your toe, you should look in the mirror and say, I'm good to go. And you are every day, whether you know it or not. No one has ever shown anyone before on what to use and what to do. And that sparks the creativity and imagination. We talk about our children here. And the mind of a child is so creative and imaginative that there's nothing thrown at it that's controlled. And it's free thinking. And once you're free thinking and you can get back to your imagination, there's so many things that you can do that have always been in front of you, but you just never knew what to do with it because everything is handed to you and it's got to be instant. But you need to get back to simplicity. It's all there for you.
Now, I know that a lot of listeners are out there looking around and looking at what they're wearing and they're thinking, now, how can I possibly use what I'm wearing to survive? Now, I saw you take a pair of shoes and do just absolutely miraculous things there in Denver. You want to start with shoes and sort of talk about clothing, or would you like to start somewhere else with a shirt or hat or wherever you want to start? But let's talk about, you know, what they're looking at right now.
Okay. Ball caps that people most commonly wear. If it's the mesh kind, there's different things that you can do with it. But if it's an all nylon hat that people wear, now you have a means to transport water. If you fold the backside down into the front, you can tuck it inside your waistband, and now you have a bucket so both hands are free so you can go around and collect nuts and berries. You can flop it on top of water if you got to cross a lake or a river and help use it for buoyancy. It's going to protect you from the sun. It will protect you from the cold. You can fan a fire with it. If the brim is hard enough and it's got a plastic liner, you now have a cutting edge that you can sharpen on a rock or on the ground if you don't have a knife with you.
Now, nobody would have ever thought of that. That's incredible. A cutting, you can make a knife out of the bill of a ball cap if it has the plastic or metal liner in it. Is that correct?
Correct, with the plastic liner.
Uh-huh.
And most nylon, if you just think of it as nylon and the nylon threads that are sewn in the seam, now you can take that apart and now you have a fishing line.
That's incredible.
the bill of it you can use for fanning, to start fires with. If it's got the mesh kind, now you have something that you can strain water through to help purify it. Some of them have a little metal beanie top on it. It's small, but it's a reflector. You got a signal mirror. All of it's just in your hat.
Now, you know, after I saw you doing all that, and after, you know, I've talked to you and everything, I started looking at one of the ball caps that I have at home, and I discovered that I could use it to fasten something to a tree or to a branch with that little snap tab in the back.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'd never thought of that before, so I started thinking again, and I began to see things around the house. Go ahead, Ken.
Not only that, you're saying fasten things around trees. It's part of your first aid kit that you may be wearing. You may have to use it to, you know, cut the that brim section off that fastens and leave enough of it that you can use it as a compress on a wound to secure a band-aid. You're talking about shoes. I recently renewed my certificates on CPR and first aid to be on National Register. And the instructor asked what I did, and I told him I teach survival training, and I went through all the subjects and said everyday clothing, and said, well, what do you do with everyday clothing? And I said, well, if you look at my shoes here, they're a pair of inexpensive pumped-up shoes, and if you really look at them, the only section that pumps up is the tongue of the shoe. So if I was to cut below that and not break the ballast in it, I could cut both the tongues off, wrap it around a broken leg or arm, and pump it up and set it just like a cast would be set, and by using my shoelaces. The shoelaces can be used for making lean-tos with. They can be used for making snare traps for hunting with. They can be used for a fishing line. Mine are, I call them paralaces, and you can take the insides out of those. You can go all the way down to using them for dental floss or good hygiene if you're out there long enough, because you've got to have hygiene, you got to have everything else when you're out there.
Wow. Boy, I'll bet you've got everybody out there spellbound because nobody thought of these things. Now, if someone were to leave the house in the morning, what are good types of things to wear, especially if there's a chance that they could find themselves in a survival situation?
We'll take on the basis winter and summer. Even during the summer, wear long sleeve shirts and long sleeve pants and clothing. Your body has a natural vapor barrier around it that is about a quarter inch thick. It's invisible, and your body temperature is rated at different ratings from your feet to your upper legs, and then you have the upper torso and your head. You'll be a lot cooler during the summertime by wearing long clothing as compared to wearing shorts, because you're working your body harder, you're perspiring and sweating, you're losing all your body fluids. As you perspire into your clothing, this acts as an air conditioning system for you. Wintertime, your clothing, by simply taking your socks and pulling them up over your pants and creating a chimney effect to keep heat rising, and wearing a hat, winter or summer. People say, oh, well, that's just a myth, you know, that's inherited. You can wear a hat any time of the year.
Now, a lot of people don't understand that the place where you lose most of your body heat is your head.
Absolutely, right through the top of your head. That's why it's called a chimney effect. Even if you're wearing underclothing, tuck your shirt into your underpants, and you just keep that heat flowing upwards, and you can ventilate it through your shirt or through your jacket. It's better to dress in layers because you can always take off. But if you don't have it, you can't add on, so it's better to have and not need than to need and not have. The type of clothing that you wear, wool is warm, whether it's soaking wet or it's dry. It's heavier when it's wet, but it will still keep you warm. The type of shoes that you wear, if all shoes have rubber soles, you can cut a piece of it off and use that to create a smoke signal if you need to be rescued. Some of the things that somebody should constantly have with them all the time, the most versatile number one tool I highly recommend that people carry is a pocket knife, a multi-purpose one. Doesn't matter what the size is. A compass or a thermometer, they're very small, a lot of them you can put on a little keychain. That way you'll always know where you're going. You'll know what you're dealing with temperature-wise. A lighter or a pack of matches. A small flashlight, preferably, that holds AAA batteries. Doesn't have to be large, but then again, now you have something to signal with that night, see where you're going with, and always keep a peace of mind with you when you go out.
You know, when we were in Denver, Willie Whitefeather showed my daughter how to start a fire with a piece of string, a stick, and another piece of wood and some like leaves and stuff.
It's called a bow drill that you can make, and if you're wearing shoes with any kind of lacing, it's very easy to make just with your shoelaces. A rock, you take a flat rock, and that goes on the top of the drill. You just have to picture a drill, and the sharp end is at the bottom, the flat end is at the top. You need to support that with one hand, and you wrap your shoe shoelace around it, so it will go back and forth, kind of like playing a fiddle.
Uh-huh.
If that would create imagination in people's minds. And just a small piece of wood with a little V-cut in it, and the friction from that will give you enough sparks and heat that would fall onto leaves, dried wood, whatever. Fuzz from your pockets. If there's smoke, there's fire.
Now, what I thought was a little humorous was people, you know, who were standing around your booth and talking to you were thinking, well, now, wait a minute. If all I've got on is just this and I don't have anything to start a fire with, what can I use? And then you said reach into your pocket and pull it out. And they reached in their pocket and pulled it out. There was all kinds of fuzz and lint and little pieces of cloth and... before you know it, there was a big pile of stuff on the table that would start a fire. And people just don't understand, and of course, until, you know, I've been to a lot of survival schools, both in and out of the military, and I didn't realize either until I saw what you were doing over there. And I think it's absolutely wonderful. We've got to take a break right now, so just hang on there, Ken. We're going to come right back to you. And folks, don't go away, because... Lou and Katie. I want you to look around now at your family and understand that we're talking tonight about survival, but there's more than one kind of survival. You have worked all your life for the assets that you've obtained, for the home that you're living in, for the furniture that you're sitting on, for the table that you eat at, for the automobile that you drive, for the money that you may or may not have in a bank account. And the latest figures say that most Americans haven't saved anything, and if they were to sell everything that they owned after paying off their debts, they would probably have no more than $2,500 at the most. You must look at your family right now. How can you go one more day without taking steps to protect everything that you work for? The sweat of your brow, all of the worry, the years of working for what? What do you have now that would survive a total economic collapse if it were to happen tomorrow? Now, I'm not trying to scare you. I just want you to be prepared. And if you really love your family, you owe it to them to prepare. You're in charge. Whoever controls the purse strings, you're in charge of that money. And if you are not responsible, and if you don't take the steps to ensure the financial survivability of your family, then, in my estimation, it's criminal. You must do it. Now, I don't care where you do it or with whom you do it, but you must do it. I recommend, and we've checked them out, and they have given our listeners a number one service across the board. And I've been assured that if anybody ever has any problems, all you have to do is call Craig Smith, and he'll get to the bottom of it and solve it. And if they're in the wrong, by golly, it will be solved so quick it will make your head swim. Believe me, I guarantee it. That's Swiss America Trading, our sponsor. So call now, 1-800-289-2646. Ask for Craig, or Gene Miller, I'm sorry. Ask for Gene Miller. Gene has devoted a lot of his time to the listeners of this show and to this program, and he drove all day and all night one time just to come up here and spend an hour with all of you out there. So call now, 1-800-289-2646. Ask for Gene Miller. Mention my name, William Cooper. That's how you get the best service down there in Phoenix at Swiss America Trading. Tell them that you're a listener of the Hour of the Time, and thank them for sponsoring this program. You know, they've received a lot of threats trying to make them withdraw their sponsorship of the Hour of the Time. It hasn't been easy on them because of the controversial nature of this program and because of the many enemies that we have made by simply putting the truth out to the people that they cannot hear anywhere else. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646, and do it right now. Don't wait, folks. Do it now. If you're out of the continental limits of the United States of America, you too can call. Call this number, area code 602-953-6000. That's 602-953-6000. Let's get into some more of those deliciously likable survival techniques because they're easy and cheap and everybody's got them. And I know everybody out there would really like to spend 8 hours with you. I mean, we've only been with you for, it hasn't even been 30 minutes if you take out the beginning of the program. And already you've taught people an awful lot. Let's go to automobile.
Automobiles. I have a booklet that I just completed. It's very informative, it's compact, and that is one of my scenarios on it, the emergency vacate car in 2 minutes, and it's one of the scenarios that I also do in my program. If you don't have everything in your car that people should have traveling, whether it's road flares, flashlights,
let's assume they don't have any of those things.
If they don't have anything, this is what I love, because people, you see them broken down all the time, you see them stranded in a snowstorm.
I just picked up two people today who were stranded up in the mountains and drove them all the way back to their home. And it does. It happens every day.
It does, and nobody knows what to do. They're trying to pick up their cellular phone and dial a local pizza place to deliver. I saw where I was coming back traveling from New York in a major snowstorm last year, and people from out of town just dressed improperly for traveling and not really having anything with them. And I saw where one state shut down their highway and the other state line shut down theirs, and neither one communicated with one another, and there was over 1,000 vehicles stranded. And a day and a half later, they got through to the people to talk to them, and they complained about how they hadn't been able to go to the restroom, how they had nothing to eat, you know, in over 24 hours. And I thought, well, who sold these people on this idea? You know, you don't travel, you don't have mints, peanuts, whatever in your vehicle. If you're traveling with someone else and you're not in your own vehicle, let's just look at the vehicle in case of any emergency situation where you got to vacate your car. If you're not in a vehicle, just close your eyes and picture your own vehicle and what's in front of you and what's around you. Everybody puts their seat belts around them. I've mentioned a pocket knife before. If you have to get out of your vehicle, cut off the seat belts and take those with you. You have equipment right there. They're all nylon. They're heavy duty. You have a means of making a stretcher. You have means for making a lean-to. You have means for making a signal mirror with the buckles that they snapped in. They're reflective. The triangular section could be sharpened and cut down for hunting, for fishing, for filleting with. That's just with your seatbelt. Most people throw all their garbage into their glove compartment. Just rip open the glove compartment and pull everything out of it and sort it later. Your map that's in your car. This is a sense of direction. It's a sense of information. How many people remember how to make a paper hat for protection?
Now, paper is also a great insulator.
Absolutely, Bill. Great thinking. All you got to do is insulate your clothing with that if the weather is severe. Some people have these multi-road atlases with many pages. All you got to do is pull the pages out, stuff it inside your clothing. Now you got extra warmth and insulation. You have a means of fire. There's your toilet paper. There's everything you need right there with just your road map.
Now, folks, I want to impress upon you that you're listening to radio, and you're hearing him tell you what you should do or what you could do and what he's already tried out and has done and make sure that it works. But when he gives these seminars, he doesn't just stand up there and talk about it. You actually show people. You go out to the car, and you take the car apart from front to back and show them how each piece is used, and you let them actually get their hands on it and do it. And I want to make that point because sitting in your home listening to a radio is quite a bit different than sitting or standing and watching this man work. It's just incredible, and I wish each and every one of you could attend one of his seminars, and maybe you'll be able to. What I would like to encourage you to do is get a group of people in your area and contact Ken, because he will travel to your area and conduct an 8-hour seminar. Now, this is how he makes his living, so it will cost you money, but I'll guarantee you it's the best money that you've ever spent in your life. It will save your life. It will save your family's life. It will save your children's life. Now, let me give you his number. Everybody, you all know that you should never listen to this program without a pad of paper and a pen or pencil. So write this down. His phone number is area code 303-666-4601. 303-666-4601. Now, I know there's some nuts out there that always listen to this program. Don't write me and say that he's satanic because he's got 666 in his phone number. And folks, if you think I'm crazy for saying this, you ought to see some of the wacko mail that we get. Somebody's going to do this. I know they are because they always do. He has nothing to do with his phone number, folks. It's assigned by the phone company. It depends on where you live. His number, once again, is 303-666-4601. Let me give you his address. Survival Training, IPV, In Plain View, Survival Training, 1560 Bedivere Circle. That's 1560 Bedivere Circle. Bedivere is spelled B-E-D-I-V as in Victor, E-R-E. 1560 Bedivere Circle, Lafayette, Colorado, 80026. Now, if you were running around getting a pencil, I'm going to give the phone number one more time, the address one more time, then we're going to continue. Phone number is 303-666-4601. His address is 1560 Bedivere Circle. That's spelled B-E-D-I-V-E-R-E. Lafayette, Colorado, 80026. What else can you do with a car, Ken?
Other than drive it, you can cook on the engine if it's still running and operating for you. If you have food in your car that maybe you picked up at a fast food place and it's gotten cold, and you need to reheat it. You need to heat milk up for a baby. You can warm your food and cook your food on the manifold of the engine. Other things that you can do and take from the vehicle, just right there in front of you, your rear view mirror, you can rip that off. That's your signal mirror. It's a good piece of glass. You can break it. You're not going to get 7 years bad luck. You'll probably have 7 years more of good health and life. And you use that as a knife if you didn't have a knife, because glass is sharp and it will cut just about anything. Your sun visor, the metal in that. Again, fishing rods for digging with the ashtray can be used as a shovel to dig with, to get water out of the earth with, to dig a hip hole if you get a lay on the ground, because the ground will not conform to you like your mattress, so you want to feel comfortable.
Now, you may think that this is crazy, folks, but this is not crazy at all. Until you try digging in cold ground with your hands, then you'll understand why an ashtray is a very useful tool. Go ahead, Ken.
Cars have plastic liners on their seats to keep them clean. This is your portable tent. This is your way of collecting condensation and moisture out of the air, so you have a fresh water supply if you don't have any water with you.
Now, wait a minute, Ken. Explain that, because I know a lot of people were listening to that, but they don't understand exactly what you said. How does that work?
If you were to take even a plastic garbage bag at home and just go out and lay it on the ground in the sun, it will heat up, and it will take the condensation right out of the air. It will take the moisture out of the air, and water will form on it. You can drain it into the center of it. You can stake it off, raise it maybe 3 inches off the ground, put a rock or change from your pocket, your car keys in the center of it, and this is, becomes a little solar still. And it will purify water. It will collect water. The moisture in the air on it overnight will collect on it. It does it on a tent all the time. There's 326 million cubic miles of water on the face of this earth. It goes nowhere. It just changes. It's always there. It's in the air. It's on the ground. It's somewhere. And your fresh drinking water supply is always within your means.
Wow, this is incredible. What other revealing tidbits can you give our listeners? Now, remember, this is just a short period of time, folks. He actually does his seminar. Takes 8 hours. I assume that you probably have a break for lunch in that, but still, that's a long time. And do you bring things with you, or do you go to the seminar and just go with what the people brought and what's there and what's in their cars?
The most exciting part is a woman that will volunteer her purse, because I get to go through her entire purse and show people how to use everything in a woman's purse other than what it was intended for, and then everybody would like to get lost, which I call temporarily displaced, because you're never lost, you're only temporarily displaced in this world.
You had the
and,
courage.
Then they want to get lost with a woman with a large purse, because they seem to have everything in it. I bring what I call a magic cooler, whatever I feel like rummaging through the house that day and throwing into the cooler. And then it's total improv in the afternoon. I just start pulling things out and say, this is what it was bought for. Now let's turn it into something else and make it useful.
Well, I'll tell you, you're a brave man for reaching into a large woman's purse. my wife has a large purse, and she asked me to get something out of it one time, and I spent about an hour looking and couldn't find it, but it was in there. But you're right. Women carry an awful lot of things in their purse that could be used for many, many different purposes. What are some of those things, Ken?
A lot of women carry lip balm or chapstick or lipstick. And right there you have one protection for your lips. You got a sunblock. But let's take it further. Why not put it on your face to protect yourself from the wind, from the sun? Why not rub it on your hands if you don't have gloves or proper clothing in cold and clement weather? Let's use it for turning certain parts of your clothing into rain gear with lip balm by simply rubbing it on the front of your pants, on the thigh area, on the calf muscles, on the back, because that's where rain and water mostly runs to, so now you've just waterproofed your clothing. If you want to keep warm with lip balm, just take fuzz again from your pocket, small needles or twigs, rub some on it, and then light it with a match or a lighter.
How long will that burn, Ken?
That will burn at least 3 to 4 minutes, long enough to give you a warm flame to start any kind of kindling on fire.
And you're talking about just a pin or a piece of stick or something that you rub this lip balm on?
Absolutely. Just rub it on it with some fuzz, rub it on a twig, rub it on cotton. Try this at home. Take a cotton swab and just light one end of the cotton swab and see how long it burns. And you'll find out that it doesn't burn very long. Now if you take lip balm and rub it on there and light it, you'll see the flame increase and the temperature increase. And that's also great to toss in an empty beer can or pop can, whatever you might find out there, because people seem to disregard things out amongst nature all the time. And now you have a lantern for in the evening. You have a means to start your little cooking stove with. And
yeah, that little stove that you were talking about earlier, that will actually boil water, won't it?
Yes. You can boil water with just a beer can.
And boiling water purifies it, doesn't it?
Absolutely. That's the most simplest way to purify water. I have those steps in my booklet that I've just completed, three basic methods of purifying water. And it's the only way to really purify water. People go out and buy a lot of bottled water and everything else. All they have to do is take the tap water from their faucet and boil it and purify it.
And then they don't have to go spend all that money for the water. Now, it'll purify, but it won't take out heavy metals, will it?
No, it will not.
So some kind of a filter would help.
A filter would help, or pouring it from pan to pan helps with the flavor and the taste of it, just to get that metal-y taste out of it that you're talking about.
Uh-huh. Okay. What else?
With women always have things to clamp their eyes with, you know, to put make their eyelashes look better. These are tools now that you can use for hunting or dissecting or for first aid. The sanitary napkins that are in women's purses is a great first aid compress for major wounds and bleeding.
You could clamp a blood vessel with one of those eyebrow curlers, couldn't you?
Yes, you could.
That could save someone's life really quick. Now, see, that just occurred to me while you were talking about it. You mentioned first aid, and I thought, wow, somebody's bleeding to death. You could actually clamp the blood vessel closed and tie a little something around there to keep it shut and save someone's life.
Absolutely. And it's so simple, though. I mean, all these things are right there. People don't need to spend any more money. Actually, they'll conserve energy. They'll save money by using everything on them, around them, about them, within their home, within their vehicle, that they don't need to go out and spend any more money. They've already spent all they need to spend. It's just utilizing it for more than what it is.
What can you do with a plain old ballpoint pen?
A plain old ballpoint pen, you can take it apart. Now you have a hollow tube. Some of them have a little air hole on there. All you got to do is put your finger over that. Now you have a drinking straw. You have a blowgun. The pen itself, the ballpoint of it, can be whittled into a piece of wood to make a hardened spear point for fishing with, to spear fish with or jig frogs with, or to dig with, to cut with. The plastic on it, most times they're plastic. Plastic will melt. It creates a lot of smoke, so you have a smoke signal with it. You can repair holes in items with a pen by just breaking off pieces and melting it and letting it cool. You can patch the soles of your shoes. You can patch a canoe if you're canoeing. You can whatever is there at the time. Whatever you have to do at that time, if you just let go and let your imagination go and look at it for more than what it's been given to you as, you can turn it into something totally useful.
Well, in this modern day of consumerism, people are taught not to use their imaginations. You got to go down and spend some money. And so most people are not too good at this. How would you encourage them to become good at using their imagination? What are some exercises that they could do to get out of this, I can't do it, or I don't have it, or this won't work type of mentality?
Basically, the words you just used right now, you need to start eliminating from your vocabulary. Try. If someone tells you they're going to try, that's not a commitment. That you can sure that they're not going to show, or they more than likely will not be there because they're telling you right off the bat that they're not committing.
Uh-huh.
I can't is another one. By telling yourself these things all the time, you start to believe that you can't, you shouldn't, you couldn't, you wouldn't, and it pulls you down. And if you catch yourself saying these words, you need to start eliminating them. I asked you this evening at the start of the program, how'd you feel? How are things going? You said, just fine. Ask anybody around you how they're doing. When you're going through a grocery store line, they'll say, okay, whatever. Let's cancel the try word.
While they're reading the National Enquirer.
Let's use the word great. How are you today? I'm great. And people look at you and wonder why.
I like wonderful. I usually say wonderful when somebody asks me.
That's another good one. So bringing your self-esteem up is a big part of survival.
Uh-huh.
And how things affect you. And you asked how to get back into the imagination and creativity. Knowing that whatever you're going to do is best for you and that you can do it. Life was meant to be a joy, not a struggle. And life is not a dress rehearsal. You only get one chance at it. And you best do it as best as you can.
Isn't that the truth? That's the absolute truth. And, boy, we like to talk about truth on this show. You just heard a great truth, folks. You've got one chance at this life. Why sit around and complain and gripe and groan? Why not do something about it? And one thing that comes to my mind right now is get involved in our media buyout. You know, Ken, we're trying to buy a media corporation to try to change this country around.
Well, you're saying try.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. But this is what we want to do. We want to change the country around from the direction it's headed. We want to make it a better future rather than an uncertain or a socialist future. We want to try to instill, we want to try to, there you go again. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Ken. You are right on the money, and we've all got to stop that, me included. And people look up to me for leadership, and I'm doing exactly what you said.
It's embedded into you. My daughter in school, watching her creativity and imagination, she can sit and figure and look at things. She's working on some puzzles, and each one became progressively,
you know what,
harder.
Ken, we're out of time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Me too. I could go on forever with you. I want to thank you for being a guest on the show. God bless you, and I want to have you back next week if you want to come back. For everybody else out there, good night, and God bless you all. Folks, you can call Ken at area code 303-666-4601. That's 303-666-4601. Do it. Tomorrow, tonight, whenever, but do it. Good night.
Get the train to Hollywood and ride away your best buddy.